Good morning and welcome to Above the Fold here on Real Talk 93.3. I'm your host, Steve Stewart. We're here every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. Don't forget to like us on Facebook at Above the Fold, and you can stream the show live at realtalk93.com. Above the Fold is brought to you in part by Spartan Stoneworks. One of the most common and cost-effective upgrades anyone can make to their home is the kitchen. You're almost guaranteed to increase the value of your home with an updated kitchen. The quality materials like granite, quartz, and marble countertops can get expensive. Well, not when you go to Spartan Stoneworks. Pricing will be lower than anywhere else because they do not mark up the cost of stone materials. The way they see it, since they didn't carve it out of the mountain themselves, they're not going to charge you any made-up fees if they did. Great pricing, amazing craftsmanship, and quick turnaround from an honest local company. Give them a call at 765-2037, 765-2037, and we appreciate the sponsorship of Spartan Stoneworks here on Above the Fold. Oh, we have got an action-packed hour show for you. A lot of stuff going on, some good stuff, some bad stuff, some stuff that's yet to be determined if it's good or bad. But look, I guess the big buzz right now around town is the PBA billboards, and we'll dig into that a little bit. I think if you haven't seen them, the union who's become frustrated with the negotiations with the city of Tallahassee took out some billboards that are controversial, to say the least. And, you know, they address the crime issue here. And we'll get into, you know, we've been covering this at Tallahassee Reports and on Above the Fold. We've had president of the PBA on the show. And I think it's pretty clear where the positions are. The union is frustrated and not sure what taking out these billboards and, you know, highlighting crime in Tallahassee is going to do, but they're obviously trying to put pressure on the city. We'll talk about that in the third segment at the bottom of the hour when we'll go over the crime stats that we publish on a weekly, or that we update on a weekly basis. We've got some more numbers that we'll share with you on that. So we'll talk about that at 11:30. And also, we've had a lot of shootings in Tallahassee. Had a bad year. There's been a bad year all around the country for crime. Last year was no exception here in Tallahassee. Murders are higher than they have been. But we had something happen this week that really should get everybody's attention. You know, usually when we have a shooting, everybody sort of just looks the other way and says, oh, it's on the south side. And, you know, they sort of just go on about their business. But there's a couple of really bad things that happened in this one shooting over on Appalachian Parkway at the Circle K. And again, we'll get into that in our crime section or our public safety section segment at 11:30. But when you start looking at the confluence of these three things that happened, this should be a wake-up call for elected officials. And, you know, we've been talking about it, that, you know, this crime, there's been an increase in some violent crime, and there's just a number of things here that have happened that I think really should get everybody's attention. So we'll talk about that, like I said, in 11:30 segment. Coming up in our next segment, we're going to go over the city commission meeting on Wednesday. I ended up watching a little bit of that. We've got a couple of reports I want to highlight having to do with the homeless issue. We got some hard numbers that the nonprofits have basically thrown out there. Been beating around the bush for weeks on these numbers, and so we'll bring those to you. There's some discussion about this mobile app where people can record interactions with police officers. We'll talk about that, and also just the general tenor of the meeting. I will tell you that there's some city commissioners that don't care for each other, and you know, it comes through in the meeting, and so we'll talk about that a little bit and what those implications are maybe for trying to find some solutions to some of these issues that are, bearing down on Tallahassee. In our last segment, we'll talk about, give you a little bit of local economic news. We got some good news on that front. We'll give you a vaccine update. We talked about the COVID stuff on the COVID numbers this past Tuesday. Everything's really headed down. Positivity rates below 5%. It'd be interesting to see how the Leon County Commission deals with their COVID update. The numbers are as low as they've ever been, I think, in some of these categories. But we'll give you a vaccine update. Governor DeSantis is continuing to lower the threshold for getting vaccinated. I think by April 5th, anybody over 18. And, you know, the politicians who want his job are saying he should have done it 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. But we'll talk about that, give you a vaccination update on the COVID stuff. Also, want to, here in my remaining moments of this section, just touch on a couple of things at a school board meeting on Tuesday. We had a reporter there, and we've got a number of stories that will be coming out over the next couple of days, but just want to give you some highlights. First of all, there's there was a report on school construction, and I think a lot of times people, they are required, I think, I don't know if it's by statute or if this is an LCS, Leon County Schools policy, but they give a construction update every 6 months, and they talk about the construction projects that are in progress, and this update talked about three projects that are in progress. Obviously, there's Rickards, and they put a dollar value of that, the project that is in progress now, of $40 million. And then there's another project at Fairview, slated at $25 million, and a smaller project at Conley. But a lot of money being spent on infrastructure on the south side here in the by Leon County Schools. The other issue that came up, which I thought was interesting, is a number of different groups trying to partner with LCS. FAMU football team gave a presentation about adopting Bond Elementary School. The incoming or the current chair of the Greater Tallahassee Chamber of Commerce spoke at the meeting and talked about how they are trying to get businesses to adopt every kindergarten class in Leon County to provide not only financial resources, but he was very intentional on talking about, you know, we want to give some time to this. And I think that, you know, what we're starting to see is something that I think most people know, but there really hasn't been anything that where the needle has moved this, is that there are some issues here with kids that are probably, I don't know, 0 to 7 years old, elementary school, that are getting, are not getting started on the right track. And once you get through elementary school, it is very difficult to get them back on track. And again, I don't think it's anything that we don't understand, but we haven't been able to really do anything. Now, we've got this Children's Services Council tax that's going to come into play. But, you know, again, if you think this is all about money, I think that Jay Smith, again, who the chairman of the Greater Tallahassee Chamber, was very clear in that, look, we're going to help with some resources, but that is not the major thing. Money is not an issue in a lot of the problems that we're dealing with. It's more about priorities, and it's getting things done and getting someone in charge that can say, look, you know, we've got plenty of money in the system to deal with some of the public safety issues and some of these education issues that we are confronted with, but it doesn't seem to get into the right place. So, looks like some outside groups are taking things into their own hands and are trying to have an impact. So we'll keep an eye on that. And in our public safety segment, we'll have another report or a topic from the school board meeting in regards to the school resource officers. They voted on changing the policy, and interesting change, but again, it we'll just talk about how the school board, I think, is addressing safety in our schools. So we'll talk about that. But when we get back, we're going to go ahead and pivot to the city commission meeting. We'll talk about some of the things they did there. I'll be able to give you, like I said, I watched the meeting, some of it, give you some of my personal views of the personal relationships up there on the dais. So stay tuned. I'm Steve Stewart. You're listening to Above the Fold. When it's time for leaving, I hope you'll understand that I was born a rambling man. All right, welcome back to Above the Fold. It's easy for me to get distracted. You know, you would think with six kids, a wife, and two dogs, I'd be okay. But anyway, city commission meeting. You know, I'm looking forward to, I am looking forward to, because I do this because I like it, but I'm looking forward to trying to get back to an in-person city commission meeting. You know, it hasn't always been the case, but I think I have pretty good relationships with most of the city commissioners and the city staff, relatively. And so you know, it's good to see them in action because you can tell a lot. And I'll talk about that in a little while. But, you know, they had some issues to deal with at the city commission meeting. And the one thing that they are stuck on is this homelessness issue. And they like presentations. The presentations from these nonprofits, they're trying to get this teed up so that they have all the information at their fingertips before they start making these decisions. It's pretty clear that, you know, I think that the deal with the homelessness issue here during the pandemic has revealed some structural problems we have in place. So I think hopefully that it will provide some answers moving forward. And so I think that's what they're trying to do. But, you know, one of the things that has been out there for the last couple of weeks is how much, you know, first of all, what is the problem and how much would it cost to get it under control? And so that question's been hanging out there. I think we got sort of an answer last night when the nonprofit that's in charge of the response to homelessness, and remember now, the city and the county, there's no government entity with a department that deals with homelessness. It's a nonprofit issue. The city commission and the county and other groups give money to nonprofits to deal with this. So, you know, they were caught a little bit flat-footed when this became such a crisis because, you know, people don't yell at nonprofits. They yell at local government. And so now they're trying to get the bottom of this. But, you know, the numbers that came out, and there seems to be some debate if we have the capacity to deal with transitional homelessness. And it appears we don't because they said we need about another $4 million a year to deal with the issue that we have, which, and, you know, we're going to have to go back and look at the tape and get the specifics, but it sounded like that to deal with each homeless person, it costs between $15,000 and $20,000 a year, and there's about 250 people that, you know, we don't have covered right now. And so they're asking for more money. And that was probably the biggest thing that came out of the presentation that they gave to the city commission. However, Diane Williams Cox, City Commissioner Diane Williams Cox, was very clear in trying to, I don't think she was trying to hide her desire to ask the county to give more money, but she made the point that the city has put up about $3.8 million towards the homelessness efforts and that that Leon County Commission is not really pulling their weight in this regards. Now, this was at a meeting. We haven't had a chance to talk to people and find out if these numbers are as she says they are. But she was basically saying, look, we need more help from Leon County on this issue. And, you know, coming at a meeting where, you know, the head of the nonprofits that are responsible for dealing with the homelessness issue says that we need another $4 million. You know, I think it's pretty clear in what's happening here. They're looking for different pots of money because I think what's coming out now is that the issue with the homelessness has been, they're saying it's been really underfunded for years. And the pandemic has really sort of revealed what kind of problems that we're having with that. Now, you know, having said that, there's some things that are going to be changing in the next couple of months. Obviously, the City Walk mission on Mahan, you know, they were served with papers and they have to quit providing these overnight services to homeless people. You know, we're hearing that as of April 1st, the hotels on North Monroe are going to be cleaned out and the Kearney Center will be open again. So there's going to be this reshuffling again of the homeless population. And, you know, I think it's going to be an interesting 2 to 3 month period to see where it all ends up, you know, because North Monroe is had this situation with the homeless population for a while. Are they going to just now pick up and leave? Are the city and the county going to help move those people? Are they going to require them to move? So I think, you know, this is going to be an opportunity to maybe redefine how we deal with homeless people. You know, the services that we'll be able to offer some of the people that need services and what we deal with people that, you know, that actually ended up here because they're from other cities and they were told to go to Tallahassee. We have heard from different sources that 70% of the population of the homeless population in Leon County is not from Tallahassee. Now, how did they get here? You know, there's issues with prisons in the outlying areas. People have to, when they serve their time, they have to have places to go. And, you know, some of these outlying areas that have the prisons, they don't have urban centers that have services. And so they come to Tallahassee. So someone that is committed a crime in Jacksonville or Orlando and is sentenced in a prison, say in Jefferson County or in Wakulla, they get their time and they end up in Tallahassee. So, you know, I don't know how you deal with that, but I think that over the next couple of months, we're going to see a little bit of tension between some of the local governments and what they're doing for the homeless issue. And I think hopefully we'll get a plan together. But to argue that we don't have the resources, given the money that goes through local government here, is going to be a tough sell. I know we just voted in a new tax for children's services. You know, where's the $4 million going to come from? I mean, they've got to have it in the budget. It's about, I think, reprioritizing where the money's being spent. Also, at the city commission meeting, they voted to go ahead and move forward with this mobile app, which is going to allow people to record interactions with law enforcement agencies. I've got mixed feelings about this. Listen, the body-worn cameras is one thing, but other people think this is a good idea. We'll see what happens. I think that one of the more telling things out of this was comments by City Commissioner Curtis Richardson, who went out of his way to say, look, you know, we have met two of the demands from the social justice advocates over the summer who wanted an independent police board and also wanted a more transparency in these interactions between police officers and citizens. So he basically acknowledged that, you know, the I don't know that I would call them riots, I would say the demonstrations that put a lot of stress on our community. He's saying they did result in actions by local government. And so I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I mean, they had an opportunity to do these things before the demonstrations and they didn't. And this, to admit that you're being moved forward from, you know, aggressive demonstrations, I don't know what that opens you up to. But anyway, those were statements that were made by City Commissioner Richardson. Now, one of the other things before I get out of here I wanted to mention is, you know, there is a bit of tension on the commission. There are some 3-2 votes, and there's obviously this wing, two different wings on the city commission. It's tough at times to tell who's in the middle here, but I'll give you an example. There is a simple vote on establishing a formal committee out of the Midtown Working Group. It's basically to give a little bit more, I think, power to citizens in the Midtown area to shape what's going on in their community. And the vote was to establish a more formal committee, but the power up to a point was given to the mayor. And there was probably about a 10 to 15 or maybe 20 minute dialogue about why is the mayor getting to make these appointments? Why isn't it ratified by the full commission? And, you know, the attorney said, yeah, the mayor gets to make these appointments, but it's been tradition that, you know, he doesn't do it without the sort of consensus of the city commission. Well, you know, when you have people on a board like the city commission and there's a little bit of tension or, disagreement on how the process should move forward, simple things like, you know, who you're going to appoint to committees, they don't trust with one person. And so, you know, Commissioner Matlow, who sort of dealt with trying to figure out exactly what was the procedures here, because it's different for a lot of different committees. Sometimes city commissioners each get an appointment to a committee. Sometimes the city commission has the vote together to put them on committees. And sometimes the mayor has the authority to make these appointments. So it is a little, it's not very clear why they are the process for different committees. And so Jeremy Matlow, Commissioner Matlow, made the point that maybe this is something that we need to take up at another day. But again, I think this reveals some of the tension in the city commission. And that can be a good thing if it's not too personal, if you're actually doing it to debate around issues. But I'm not sure actually what kind of tension we have there. We'll have to keep an eye on that. All right, when we get back, we'll talk about public safety. So stay tuned. I'm Steve Stewart. You're listening to Above the Fold. All right, welcome back to Above the Fold here on Real Talk 93.3. Above the Fold is brought to you in part by Epps Decorating Center. If you're a homeowner, you should always be looking for ways to increase the value of your home, but it doesn't always have to be a major project. A fresh coat of paint can transform the interior and exterior of your home in a dramatic way, and I recommend you start with a visit to Epps Decorating Center, Tallahassee's premier Benjamin Moore paint retailer. Whether you need interior or exterior paint, high-end or commercial-grade coatings, Epps Decorating Center is ready to serve you and answer all your questions. Stop by today and get a free paint sample to start your new project. Give them a call at 385-6649. That's 385-6649, and we appreciate the sponsorship of Epps Decorating Center. Okay, you heard there during the break an update on the situation and the shooting that took place this week at Circle K on Appalachia Parkway. You know, as I said in our opening, a couple of very troubling things here beyond it just being a shooting. We sort of have become numb to shootings because they don't, you know, they don't affect all corners of the county or the city. But this is something that has happened in an area and at a time and has affected someone that it doesn't normally happen. I mean, this is basically equivalent to an innocent bystander being shot and killed because of a shooting that took place at 11 o'clock during the day. Now, from what I understand, the person that was shot was actually working at the time. So, you know, here in Tallahassee, we've sort of become numb to some of these shootings, but this should really, I think, get our attention. You've got an innocent bystander killed because of a shooting by two people who, you know, by all, I mean, it doesn't take... I don't know the people personally, but if you just look at who they are and the records, it's going to raise some more questions about what we're doing with people who originally commit crimes. Both the people that are involved in these shootings have a history of arrests and convictions. One was arrested on a charge of attempted murder after he and two other men allegedly fired at a man on Roberts Avenue, according to court records. And this comes from the Tallahassee Democrat article. Now, the next line here, this he was arrested and charged with attempted murder. He pleaded no contest to a lesser aggravated assault charge and was sentenced to less than 2 years. So he was out after that. And now he's, I would assume... that this will get him, obviously, a very lengthy sentence if the allegations are true. Also, the other person involved was also sentenced in 2015 to 4 years in prison on a weapons and drug trafficking charges. And so both of these people were re-entering society after serving sentences for some less than 2 years for what appear to be violent crimes. And, you know, I think that one of the things we've got to be careful of is, you know, I do, I think that there is some definite reforms in sentencing that have to be looked at, especially with regards to nonviolent crimes, consistency across, you know, what these crimes are. But when we start getting into violent crimes, like what we have here, I think we're, you know, this is what can happen if the prison system or the legal system doesn't work in a very effective way. And so, anyway, not a good day in Tallahassee. It looks like we have, you know, something has happened that does not normally happen here, but it moves us up on the list. And, you know, the segue here is the, you know, now is dealing with... law enforcement and some of the issues that we have. The PBA believes we have a crisis in the Tallahassee and Leon County because of a shortage of officers, and they blame that on negotiations with the city of the failure of negotiations to come to a resolution with the city of Tallahassee on a contract. Now, just real quick, you know, there is two different unions representing people that work at TPD. There's the management union, which has already signed a contract with the city of Tallahassee. And then there's the rank and file officers who are out doing the work in the streets that do not have a contract. And they're at impasse, and the leadership of the PBA is obviously frustrated, and they've taken out these billboards across town that highlight the problem with crime in Tallahassee and Leon County. Now, they're trying to put pressure on the city to change their negotiating position. They're hoping that people are going to see these billboards, reach out to city officials and say, look, you've got to negotiate a better deal for these police officers because we've got major problems, major crime problems here in Tallahassee. Now, look, I'll be the first to tell you that, you know, an event like the one that happened on Appalachian Parkway, you know, is an anecdotal event. But when you take that and pair it with statistics that we're seeing, which is, you know, significant increases in violent crime. We've seen decreases in property crime, but we've seen increases in assaults and batteries and robberies. Robberies where there are, you know, intimidation or weapons are used to take things from people. And so, you know, again, this crime that happened on Appalachian Parkway will fit within those parameters. So this is, we're seeing an increase in this type of activity. Now, you know, I don't know if this will be classified as a murder. Probably will be some degree of murder. But, you know, we've seen across the country, 2020 was a bad year for murder in a lot of cities. And Tallahassee was no different. We had over 30% increase in murders. The previous year we had 2019, we had 21 people murdered. That was up to 28 in 2020. So quite an increase. So, you know, there's a lot of things here that are coming to a head. You got the negotiations with the rank and file officers, and you've got these, this increase in violent crime. Now, you know, this, you put this on top of the homeless population issue where we've seen, you know, we had major arrests in the North Monroe area dealing with some human trafficking and drug issues. Yeah, this is something that I have said before that should be the complete focus of local government, because that is the pillars that, you know, local government is built on, is public safety. And I think we need to get a handle on this pretty quick. You know, when you continue to read about these negotiations that, you know, are dragging out, you know, one of the things that I think needs to happen, and, you know, these in the past have been, there, a lot of the negotiations are confidential, and it's difficult to compare or to check the veracity of some of the statements by either side that are going through the negotiations. You know, obviously this is all about money. Some of it's about working conditions, but it's very difficult to find out, you know, it's the city of Tallahassee police officer, their benefit package and their working conditions, are they worse off than police officers in similar cities around Florida, like Pensacola, Gainesville, Lakeland? I mean, it's really tough to make those comparisons. We've tried to do that, and we're going to continue to look at it, especially as this negotiation continues to drag out. But I think not having information out there makes it easier for both to maybe not negotiate in the best faith. So if you had information that people understood, they could say, well, wait a minute. You know, there's not really an officer shortage here in Tallahassee. I mean, you look at Lakeland and Pensacola and Gainesville, and then you could sort of kick that argument out of the negotiation or say, well, that's not true. But PBA believes that there is an officer shortage. The city of Tallahassee, you know, they're talking about, you know, they've had their best year of recruiting officers by paying bonuses and giving increases to entry-level officers. So, you know, there's probably some merit with that argument. I think the city would tell you they're trying to address it. But I think it would really make the process a lot better if we had more information that was open to the public. So both sides would have to really, when they're negotiating, would have to adhere or accept some basic facts instead of doing this in a confidential manner. These mediation processes are behind closed doors, and I know the city doesn't like to talk about it hardly at all. They issue very standard canned statements. The PBA has been a little bit more willing to make these bold statements, as you've seen with these billboards. So anyway, we'll keep you up to date on that. Before I get out of here on this segment, I did want to talk about the school board action. And, you know, and I don't know that I had remembered this, but they had a vote at the last school board meeting to sort of move forward and to change some policies in regards to having school resource officers or school guards in schools next year. And so we're going to continue to follow that. But I think it's, again, if you remember the state program that allows schools to have armed guards. Now, these are going to be people that are ex or current law enforcement officials, and they have to pass, you know, certain tests or exams. And so, but it looks, you know, it looks like the Leon County Schools is going to definitely be on board with using this in the schools next year, and we'll continue to keep an eye on that. All right, when we get back, we'll talk about, we'll give you a vaccine update, look at the numbers, talk about Governor DeSantis' recent order, statewide order on that issue, and then we'll talk about the local economy. So stay tuned. I'm Steve Stewart. You're listening to Above the Fold. All right, welcome back to our last segment here for today on Above the Fold. Looking forward to the weekend. I haven't even checked the weather. Hopefully there'll be, there'll be basketball on TV, so we'll check that out. Before I get into the vaccine update, a couple of things I wanted to clean up from the previous three segments. First of all, the PBA billboard, one of the things I didn't mention is they do call out the city manager, Reese Goad, by name, which I think is part of the strategy here. They're trying to put the pressure on the person who is not involved in the day-to-day mediation or negotiation, but is obviously in charge of the person that does. And so don't know that I've ever seen this before, but so his name is actually on the billboard, which, you know, is the big blue letters of thinking of sending your child to college in Tallahassee. Think again. And they talk about the crime stats. And they also mention Reese Goad's name. And so I think that's an important thing to understand. And, you know, one other thing on this crime issue that we're talking about here, I didn't talk about, you know, we've seen increases in the violent crime, but didn't talk about the arrest numbers. You know, we've previously saw arrests down as much as 40% when compared to this time last year. It has gotten a little bit tighter. It's down to about 33% is the difference. But there's still some very big changes there in terms of the number of people that are being arrested. And again, it's not because violent crime is down. The property crime is definitely down, and so are those arrests. But is, you know, you begin to wonder if it's about engagements, because a lot of times people are arrested because there's policing going on. People are getting pulled over. You find out that they have outstanding warrants or something like that. And so anyway, we'll keep tracking that for you. Wanted to continue to get that information out. Now, pivoting to the COVID numbers, which we go over on Tuesday, we give you the weekly trends in Leon County, and the numbers are just so low. Positivity rate's been below 3% for 13, 14 days. Number of cases per day is as low as it's been since, I think, last summer. Hospitalizations have plummeted. And, you know, the good news, too, is that 80% of our approximately 40% of our 40,000 seniors have already been vaccinated. So that's 80%, 32,000 seniors have been vaccinated, which is the group, you know, which has the most troubling outcomes, over 65. So those are good numbers for Leon County when you can say 80%. Looks like we're vaccinating about 1,000 people a day. You know, the order by Governor DeSantis, I think by April 5th, we're going to be, anybody over 18 can get vaccinated at that point. You know, I don't know how much difference that's going to make. I think right now we're at 50, and it's going to go to 40 in a day or two, and then fall down to 18. You know, if you look at the risk by age, you know, the lower that age gets, you're letting in a population that is a lower risk. And so, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what the demand is for the vaccine as you continue to lower that. You know, what can we expect? I mean, if you look at statewide, we have a population of 20 million people. We have 5 million people that are vaccinated. So I just wonder what number are we looking at trying to get to? And without, you know, obviously the vaccine is not required by law. It's right now, it's, you know, the government is providing the service, and at no cost, you have to show up and get it. So what happens is you're either getting it, you're not getting it because you don't feel like there's a risk, or there's some other reason. And so, you know, I don't know at what point is the demand for vaccination going to be so low that we're going to just sort of be at this steady state of where we are. You know, I know that we're giving donuts out now for people to get vaccinated. I'm not sure. I don't know. It just seems like, you know, I think the next step is going to be what's going to be required by government. I mean, there's some talk about, you know, you're going to have to be vaccinated to travel overseas or to get on an airplane. I mentioned this week that in Alachua County, home to Gainesville, that they were considering that, you know, people could get together in groups if they were vaccinated. Well, the question there is, how do you enforce that law or that ordinance? Well, you got to have paperwork. That goes against sort of what we're about here on a number of different levels. So I don't know how this is going to turn out. I'd be very interested in watching the Leon County Commission meeting in the next week or so to see how they deal with this, because they've been off for, I believe, a week, or maybe it'll be 2 or 3 weeks by the time they meet again. And absent some major change, these numbers are going to be extremely low. And so anyway, and that's a good pivoting point to the local economy. There's two things to highlight here. We've talked about the real estate numbers, but the other two things I want to talk about is jobs. You know, there was some revision to jobs numbers, and I'm going to go ahead and say, listen, we are doing nothing but taking numbers that are provided to us by government entities, the Bureau of Labor Statistics. When they make changes to these numbers, we have to report them and basically give you the qualifiers. Now, we do have other numbers that we look at to sort of say, look, yeah, the economy is doing better, but the revisions to the job numbers show now that in Leon County that we're at about 94% employment level. We had previously were reporting, the numbers were showing that we were about 15,000 jobs lower than the pre-pandemic numbers, but now we're only about 5,000 jobs lower, which is good news if the numbers are accurate. Well, now, if you look at taxable sales, and these are numbers that are reported to state government. They don't go to the feds. Well, they may eventually go to the feds, but they're reported by, they're turned in by business owners to state government and then reported by state government. And, you know, we're also at about 94% of taxable sales numbers as of the latest report by the Florida Department of Revenue, which is delayed by a couple of months. So, you know, what you're seeing out there, the increase in traffic, the increase in foot traffic at restaurants, I think is when you start seeing data that is saying the same thing, you know, the outlier here is the airport for obvious reasons. But if you start looking at real estate sales, the job numbers, taxable sales, you're starting to see an economy here in the state and in Leon County that is clearly pretty close to being back to normal, plus or minus 5 to 10%. So I think that is something that we'll continue to follow. You know, we'll start looking for other measurements that will continue to validate those views. And then, you know, when you start getting to that point, we can get back to life as normal and start making these policy changes and get back to where we were before the pandemic. Because I tell you, we had 155,000 people employed here before the pandemic. Tallahassee was in a pretty good space in terms of jobs and some of the other economic growth indicators. So with the jobs and the local economy coming back, we've got to get a handle. This is even more important why we've got to get a handle on some of these public safety issues. And I hope that local government will just, you know, begin to focus on that, because there's no doubt that as some of the mitigation practices had an impact on the economy and the private sector, there's no doubt that those same mitigation efforts had an impact on public safety. Now, are we going to get back to, you know, the numbers that are similar in terms of violent crime and arrest that were in place before the pandemic, or is this going to trail the private sector as sometimes often government action does? That's going to be the interesting thing for me to follow over the next 2 to 6 months, is look how quick the private sector is rebounding, and then look at some of the measurements of local government and see how they rebound. And so anyway, we'll be here to do that for you. So we'll be looking forward to you tuning in next Tuesday for another edition of Above the Fold. But until then, I want you to have a great weekend and try to catch the FSU basketball game. See if we can get them into the Final Four. Again, thanks for joining me today and have a great weekend. I'm Steve Stewart. You've been listening to Above the Fold. Waiting.